It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Live. Let's go ahead and get this intro going.
You are now listening to TBL on silverandblackpride.com.
This play used to be run with 100 rugs, and we got Darren Waller on the choice route, Hunter Renfrow on the shallow. But I want you guys to watch Tyrann Mathieu here, okay?
God, you see the ball is out here. He's breaking on the ball. I think if he got a little closer...
All right, everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It is Favorite Raiders podcast, Favorite Raiders channel, Favorite Raiders everything. We are back today. You guys already know what to do. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe. Go ahead, hit that subscribe button. Also, you know, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at mholder95 for Matt and at the Mark John NFL for me. Leave a comment if you want to leave a comment. Leave a comment if you dislike it as well. I'm sure we get some car battles inside the comments today. So definitely some deep diving car debates in there. But, you know, the Raiders are coming off a 16-14 win over the Browns. You know, Josh DeBoer can now tweet that he's 23-15.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Against teams that are 20 points and under. I'm sure he had that tweet ready. I know he did. He had that tweet. He was just ready to do that. He was ready to go 22-16. He was ready to tweet that out. But, you know, Derek Carr ended up leading a game-winning drive for that. And the Raiders snuck out Mr. Sniper Daniel Carlson, showed why he was worth all the money with an easy kick. That was kind of dumb. They called timeout, giving a kicker like that two kicks. I thought that was dumb. But, yeah, I mean, defense played a good game. They had that really bad drive, but they controlled Nick Chubb most of the game, and they were able to control that offense. So they had a good performance. I think one of their better performances of the year. I just think, you know, the offense got to the point where they're like, you know, let's kill them instead of just trying to go home. And yeah. I think that's where they messed up a little bit. They got into like kill mode, like especially when they're up 13-7. I know you missed the first half, but the second half, I know you caught that. I mean, when they went up 13-7 and they wanted to try to chuck the ball 50 yards down the field, I'm like, come on, bro. Do you have any feel? But go ahead. What's your thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of talking about in the pregame. Hard to take too much away from a game with all the circumstances playing like two-thirds of the Browns. But I mean, a win's a win, and handle the situation better than anybody else. I think that's the biggest thing to take away from as far as, you know, moving forward and leadership and all that good stuff is handle the adversity, handle all the crap that came with the week, all the changing of the game, and ended up getting a road W that, I mean, now they're still around, floating around like the cockroach. I keep calling them the playoff cockroach, won't die, sticking around. But yeah, I mean, like you said, felt like it was disappointing by the offense, like we're talking about, like you said, second half, just bomb after bomb, not connecting, not hitting on their plays. And then, I mean, what was it again? I think it was in the second half that set up one of their touchdowns, the strip sack by the Joker. I mean, defense again, I mean, 14 points did what they needed to do. Offense was just enough, 16, but
yeah,
you're not going to win many ball games with 16 points. And what we were talking about before, you got a couple teams that like to run the ball coming up. Similar type of game next week with the Broncos. So,
yeah, I mean, they got a similar type of game next week with the Broncos. You know, another running team that, you know, they got Drew Lock playing, and Drew Lock's not going to be safe with the football like Nick Mullins. So hopefully they got to make some plays too when the ball's in the air for next week. But, you know, I want to talk about the offense a little bit more too, because I really feel like when you're up 10-0, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a team that can't move the football on the other side of the ball. I mean, you just can't keep calling deep shots, too, in my opinion. I think you have to try to have a little bit of feel for the game and then kind of play a little bit more ball control and make them, you know, have to go down the field. And then you got, you know, Derek Carr trying to make a play when he shouldn't try to make a play. And just he could just check it down to Peyton Barber, which is a smart play, and then he fumbles, right? And then it's 10-7. You know what I mean? And then when they go up 13-7, they want to chuck the ball 50 yards down the field to Zay Jones, and he can't find the ball in the air. And then it's 2nd and 10, and then it's 3rd and 13. So I think they didn't manage the game well, I think.
To your point, there's one thing, and I actually thought of you when I saw this. It was I think Carr might end up rolling out, but Kurt Warner pointed it out, where he tries to throw it to Zay Jones. They don't connect on a deeper route, and he had Hunter Renfrow open underneath for the first down. And it's I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, Marcus is going to love this one. Marcus is just going to sit there and complain about everybody wanting Carr to throw deep and wanting Carr to be more aggressive. And there he has the check down for the first. He's going to have a field day.
Yeah, I hate when he does that stuff. And, playing quarterback's about managing the game sometimes. So sometimes you just got to manage the game. And I think when you're in that type of situation, I don't think you guys have to. I mean, it kind of felt like they wanted to blow them out. They were like, okay, it's 10-0. Let's go, beat these guys 30-0. Instead of just trying to get out of that game 17-0, which I thought should have been the game plan after that. Let's play ball control. If we get to the 50 and we punt it to the 8, they're not going to go all the way down the field, right? That's kind of how the game plan that I thought should have been that, just manage the game, hit that check down to Peyton Barber, and there's no fumble. And then, maybe he misses. It might be 2nd and 9, but it's okay. They stay on schedule, and then you get a punt from the 50, and then they might be on the 8 or the 10, and then they're backed up again. So,
yeah, and I feel like that's got to be ego driven, right? Because the way the whole week unfolded, they were obviously not happy about the game being moved. Felt like they were slighted. Felt like you got Will Compton out there tweeting out, what would he say? Any team anywhere, not the Browns, whatever, during the week when the game gets moved. So. Felt like you're talking about them wanting to blow them out was them wanting to send a message when it's just they were talking about on the broadcast. This is already a crazy game. Get in, get out. This is you honestly got lucky with having the game rescheduled. And as far as the weather goes, they were talking about Saturday, it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
I do
want to give a shout out to Peyton Barber. I mentioned him last week. He's more decisive with trusting, the offensive line. And it was kind of funny. Once he started to get some runs, I saw Jacobs get a little bit more trusting. He wasn't bouncing as much. Once you saw Peyton Barber starting to get some runs. And, maybe Jacobs got a little more confidence in that offensive line. Maybe just, hey, maybe if I just run forward instead of trying to be Barry Sanders, which I'm not, because I'm not that fast. I run a 4.6, not a 4, whatever he wants to run. If he just hits the hole, man, I really feel like this offensive line is not run blocking that bad. Not as bad as they try to make it seem. But, I really feel like if he's more decisive, right, and just kind of get the 4, get the 5 instead of trying to hit the home run. So
I don't know. I mean, I might push back on it a little bit. I feel like it's – I don't know. At least my first thought is I just keep looking back to Brandon Parker just not being able to touch somebody. There was one outside zone where it's I feel like – I can see what you're saying because it feels right now, kind of what we talked about a lot with the Raiders offensive line is they'll get 4 guys that block well and then one that doesn't, and it's someone else every other play.
Yeah.
That's Brandon Parker or John Simpson will whiff or whatever. They're just not getting that consistent play where I think I might disagree with you a little bit, but I definitely see where you're coming from of when Josh Jacobs goes down just downhill and stops trying to dance a little bit, I can see where you're talking about where he's just trying to bounce it too much. So shared blame. But I guess I just watched this line and I'm like, I think to myself, I'm like, I wouldn't want to run behind them anyway.
They're coached terribly. All right. So you have to get past that. They're coached terribly. So that's kind of my thing with the offensive line too, is with some of these guys, you look through the draft and there's some good linemen coming out this year, especially in the interior. Right. And we feel some of those guys that are coming out, the dude from Texas A&M, he looks like he's pretty good. Of course, Tyler Limbaugh, that's one of my draft clutches already.
Oh, yeah.
I would not be mad if the Raiders took him, whatever they take him. So with those guys coming in the line, you just want a good O-line coach to come in and maybe coach some of these guys up that are already here. Because I really feel like they're just coached terribly. And then, Andre James, not snapping the ball on time and. Snap the ball.
Bro. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. It's game feel with a lot of these guys. You're in the game, right? I don't know. Maybe you can't hear him clapping, but man, it's been about 3 seconds.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what I'm talking about too, is it's it is like a lot of stuff. Like when like you're talking about it and like I'm listening to myself, it's like it's inexperience, like it's inconsistency, it's not getting the little things right. You know, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, it's like it's inexperience, which, you know, you hope coaching kind of fit, like bridges that gap. But again, maybe they give them more time, but I don't know. Like you said, a lot of guys in the draft that I'm going to be excited to watch. I'm going to be excited to see, because especially in the interior, that's usually where you can find those second and third rounds, is where you can find those gems. So I'm going to be excited to see what happens. Going to be excited for Mobile heading down there. So
yeah. Definitely talked about that last week. You guys are definitely going to be out in Mobile covering all those all that draft stuff, you know. But the Raiders, they're trying to keep us in the season. They're trying to keep us.
Their kids. They won't quit, man. I got to give it to him. They won't quit. One thing about Rich Bisaccia, say whatever you want. This guy, he won't let the Raiders quit on him. Somehow, some way, they're going to find a way to keep staying alive.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what the game feel was this game for me, though.
Yeah.
Which kind of worries me. I mean, a lot of these games that they have later on, right? A lot of these plays later on, you know, that's happening.
Yeah.
Is going to be like these running teams. It's going to be ugly. I mean, they're not going to kill these next two teams. They're not going to kill the Broncos. They're not going to you know, do what they did last time to them. You know, even though Carr has a good
Henry Ruggs was a big part of the game plan last time. I think that was one of his. He had like a couple like 50-yard bombs in that game, didn't he, or something like that? I think he had like three catches for like 100 something and a TUD. And I mean, they have two good safeties that obviously having a guy like that can help him out. But yeah.
It's going to be way more difficult for them to pass the football. They're going to have to try to run the football again this week. I think that's got to be another focus. I mean, that's what you can do against the Broncos is run the football. So hopefully they maintain that focus. And, you know, but, you know, I don't know what's going to happen going forward, man. I just hope they still try to get our hopes up and then face the Chargers.
Let's flip around on the other side of the coin. Then, next two games, we got the Colts and the Broncos. Talking about the defense, I mean, did you see enough run defense wise where you're confident heading into those games or feeling better, I should say? Because I mean, I feel like you still can't be confident against the Colts, but obviously the Broncos, especially without Bridgewater, gotta imagine we're gonna see a lot more of Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I think they're gonna have to have a good day stopping those two. I mean, the Colts, I don't know about that. I don't even know if they can. I mean, they're too small up front for the Colts. Quentin Jefferson. I don't know who you're gonna play. I mean, you might have to go sign somebody. You got like some big dude that's gonna come play real quick. I don't know. It's gonna be a lot of Jonathan Hankins against the Colts. I know that Jonathan Hankins all day. I don't know, but the Broncos, on the other hand, I think they play good enough run defense. You know, Kurt Warner talked about how they're 28th in rush defense, but they're 16th in DVOA, so they're not bad. They're basically an average run defense technically. Right, based on efficiency wise and like stopping somebody. I think a lot of their total runs come from, I mean, they play no contain. When they're playing a rushing quarterback, he just takes off half the time.
Gotcha.
So you got all these quarterbacks that run like 80 yards against them, and all these runs, it kind of adds to the rushing yards total. So I think against the run, they're average, right? And I think, you know, against a ultimate running team like the Colts, I don't know, it still might be a long. But I think against a good run team against the Broncos, I think they can shut them down and make Drew Lock beat them, right? But you know, the offense they got to stop playing so damn ugly, man. I just is like, catch the football, stop fumbling, you know, make your blocks, make your holes. I mean, it's basically, I don't know, you know, like I could talk about it like everything, but you know, something goes wrong. They had one good drive. First drive, they go right down the field. I'm like, oh man, this looks nice, man. They're passing the ball, hitting second level passes, you know, hitting intermediate passes. Had a nice little fade to Bryan Edwards. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. And then it just went right back to the next drive is drops and fumbles. Yeah. But a referral, like, I mean, they look like they're a 3-13 team. That's what's bothering me right now.
And it feels like it's never like all at once. It's like all, like, again, all at different points in the game. Like, that just like keep happening. It's like one thing or another. Like, it's like I'd almost rather you guys just like get it all out in like one drive and then like let's just pick it back up and figure it out at the end. But that's just not the real.
Yeah, because I mean when you go through, especially, I mean, that second drive, man, I feel like, okay, hey, they're going through the second drive, they're gonna get there and they're gonna make some plays, right? And then the Renfro like gets the ball knocked out and goes all the it was Edwards fumbles, ball gets knocked all the way down, like it's 3rd and 21. I was like, oh man, are you guys 3-13 or are you guys trying to make the playoffs? Like, look, because the Lions game, they tried to give the Cardinals that game so bad. They tried their hardest. The Cardinals didn't want to give them. Right. And I feel like that's what the Raiders did today. They feel like they're, and that's what 4-12 teams look like. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It's hard to say. I mean, if we're talking about it, but they are still, what, 2-6 in the last eight? Is that the number, right? Is that it? Or am I off? Yeah. I mean, so, like, you're talking about they're playing like a 3-13 team? Well, they, I mean, the last.
And they got an R, right? They got an R. I mean, that, because that's the type of things that happen. You, a fumble that goes 20 yards back. That's the Lions stuff.
Yeah. It's Jacks. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to say. It's, This is what bad football teams do. Like you said, they don't execute little things, put it together, and drive killers. I mean,
they tried to kill the last drive with the hold. Like they tried. Yeah, tried to lose that game.
When that happened, I was convinced it was going to lose. They were going to lose, and then Zay Jones, our hero.
Our hero is Zay. I tell you, I slandered Zay so much. You know, he had some bad tracking today. I still don't understand why he likes to dive. I mean, Zay, it's like diving. See, when you play baseball,
he's a long jump guy. You got to get out there.
See, when you're playing baseball, you're hitting that first base, man. They tell you to run through the base. They don't tell you to slide because it's longer. That's why you run through the throw. You run through it.
Well, I think too, the one deep ball though. I think to the like just by watching Carlson's kick, like if you watch Carlson's kick, it went like left goalpost to right on the first one. Mm-hmm. I think the wind definitely was screwing with them a little bit today. It was still a little windy, wasn't it?
Which was my thing. Like, why are we chucking it deep?
Well, yeah. Again, yeah. To your point again, why are they bombing it away? That's good. No, your point. But
that's why I say, I feel like this offense is like trying to prove a point. You know, who cares? Like, just let's just like check the damn ball down, bro. Like, don't pay more. So,
we'll see.
You know, one thing they ought to learn on that last drive, though, was let's keep Zay in the intermediate level.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, that's where he does, like, what, almost all of his work. It's like they keep trying to replicate the Ravens game week one where he was wide open and Carr hit him.
Yeah. Who even knows if he tracked that ball correctly? Who knows? We don't know. He's still wide open.
Yeah. Who knows?
All right, guys. Matt, you got any last thoughts about this game?
Just want to give another shout out to Daniel Carlson. I mean, guy's been money all year. Had a one rough stretch where he's missing some kicks, and then, I mean, this is what, his third game winner of the year, might get AFC Player of the Week once again, or AFC Specialist of the Week once again.
Yeah,
Carlson coming through. Cash money's back. Sorry about my dog working.
Oh, you good, man? You good? You know, the sniper, man. Definitely had a good day playing special teams. Actually, I mean, Hunter Renfro, I think he had a couple of fumbles that, I mean, I thought he had some good runs. He had some chances to have some good returns. I think he saw green too much. He was fumbling the football. But I thought what the fake was good. And then, of course, he has some good punts. And I tell you, the best thing on this team is the punters, man. The punter and the kicker. Man. Pro bowlers. Pro bowlers.
Specialists.
Right, the specialists, bro. This is
back.
Al Davis special right there, man.
Yeah. They released the Pro Bowls today. Were they both on it?
Oh, no. I know. Cole was. I don't know about Carlson, but I know
Cole was. Nice. Yeah, back Cole, in the day. Perryman. Back to Cole and Perryman?
Yeah, Perryman too. Yeah, Perryman made
it. Okay. Damn, I kind of missed the days when the Raiders just had the Shane Leckler out there. That was our Pro Bowl representative. Not that I'm hating. That sounds too negative, but I thought it was hilarious when it's like, yep, that's our guy. That's our guy. We're 3-13 every year, and we send our Pro Bowl to the our punter to the Pro Bowl every year.
Yeah. I don't know. The Raiders might have two Pro Bowl, two Hall of Fame punters. I mean, that might be a thing, man. I don't know.
We'll see.
He's on the favor, bro. He's a damn good punter. That was. All right, guys. Let's see if you got any questions here in the comments. Kurt Warner said Carr was at fault. Blame the center on that one play. I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I think sometimes if you're in that situation and it's so loud, I think you have to kind of get into the mode where you're not trying to change too much. But I mean, you want to get them into the mode of, you know, you're seeing blitzes and stuff like that. But, you know, you got to make that happen. But I mean, the center has got to get that ball out because Ronnie Hudson gets that ball out. That's kind of how I feel about it. You know, Corey Lindsey, those dudes taking that ball out. They don't care. They probably just snap at the Carr anyways. Like, even if he's like trying to, he's like clapping, just comes to him. You know, it's just.
Yeah. And awareness they have, yeah. I'll say this, the fact that it's what, week 15 and they're not on the same page with that, that's like not what you're hoping for. That's not a great sign. Again, when we're going back to the little things, like this should be down right now. That's kind of, so I guess if you taking it from the look at the big picture, like they should have more chemistry with that, and that's on both of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got anything else here? No. Yeah, Keyshawn Nixon. I thought he did play slot corner. He got the start, which I thought was interesting over Amik. I thought he played pretty well. Got some tackles there. Diablo. Ooh, did they get one? Did they get one?
Diablo's been a stud. I did my dive on him a couple weeks ago. He had a hell of a game against the run. He was a lot more physical and a lot stronger at the point of attack, being able to get off blocks than I thought he would be. And then he had another stop today. And then shout out to the guy who was in my mentions talking about how he doesn't want to see stats on how good Divine Diablo's been. I just want to throw that in there because now that they won and the run defense was good, I just wanted to make sure I gave that guy a shout out so he got his time in. I hope now it's appropriate for me to tweet that.
Okay. All right. I see my cousin is in here, Aiden. He's giving a shout out. He's in there. Thoughts on Tyron Johnson getting some reps as a deep threat, which I think is what they should do. I think they should give him some reps.
Was he active today or no?
Yeah, he got a couple snaps. He got a couple snaps last week too. I think they got to start giving him a chance. And like I said, move Zay into the intermediate where he actually does okay. He actually does okay there, right? He didn't have to track the ball there. So he does okay there. I think get Tyron Johnson out there. I think he can become the deep threat because I think DeSean Jackson, he can be hit or miss depending on the game. He had a huge drop today.
I mean, what's the point of playing DeSean Jackson at this point? Like the guy's 35. You're not going to keep him around. I mean, okay, yeah, you're trying to make the playoffs, but he hasn't been an X factor. He hasn't been a positive. Like the one positive game he had, yeah, he had a good game against the Cowboys. His other biggest catch was ended up being a fumble. Like, what's the point of giving DeSean Jackson reps over a guy like Tyron Johnson at this point? Like, I don't really see the upside of it.
Yeah, because
give that guy a chance.
Yeah, because when he's younger, Jackson 35, yeah. And you know, Jackson, he has a calf injury. He's looked kind of slow ever since then. He doesn't run the same speed as he had against the Cowboys. So. That calf injury is obviously bothering him a little bit. And he's 35, man. He's a little older. All right. Yeah. I think we're good on that. Let's do the last one. So he asked about Desmond Trufant. Does he trust Faison? Does Bradley trust Faison because it's one of his guys? I would say yes to that. But, you know, I think Trufant might start getting some more reps later on here during the season, especially I don't think they can really trust Faison, especially late in the game. He gave up like a lot of big plays. I don't think Desmond Trufant in a situational type of thing, which when you have these former Pro Bowl guys, I think that's the difference between them and Faison is late in the game where they have to, he's not giving up the middle of the field like that to
dump
people jumps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and you know, it's funny. I heard other people talking about it when they were talking about like the Niners cornerback situation. Like they keep rolling out Josh Norman. They're like, we know Josh Norman. It's like basically the philosophy is like, we know Josh Norman isn't good, but we know we're going to get from Josh Norman.
Mm-hmm.
And like to your point with Trufant, like you know Trufant's going to have his limitations, but in the crunch time, he's going to be able to make a play for you. Whereas right now, like literally every team's game plan is just we're going to target whoever is Brandon Faison is covering. Like I don't even think they look Casey Hayward's way right now. It's like, and it's not like, I wish I could say it's like just like been the last week or like a couple bad games or anything, but it's literally been like a common theme basically since the bye week that teams are just targeting the hell out of him. And he'll get a couple pass breakups. Like he probably still leads the team in pass breakups, but that's partially because he gets targeted so damn much.
Yeah. I mean,
got beat by Peoples Jones on the drop. So
exactly. Like,
yeah.
All right. I think that's about it, guys. Appreciate you guys listening and coming through, watching us, checking out the stream, me and Matt. No, BD's not here. He couldn't make it. He said he's gonna be stuck in traffic trying to get out here with the game. I mean, it's the Browns' fault why BD's not here. Let's just say that it's the Browns' fault. Their COVID outbreak is why BD's not on the show today. But we held it down. We hope you guys enjoyed it. You know, we're getting through the season. I don't know how this team got the 7 wins, but we're here. We're at the 7-win spot. We're figuring out. And we're making it happen here at Silver Black Pride and Tape Don't Lie. So guys, make sure you guys subscribe. Make sure you guys check out Matt's podcast too. You know, make sure he's gonna, you know, do some interviews for the Broncos. We're getting getting ready for that. And of course, like I said, we're getting ready for the Senior Bowl too, guys. So we'll be ready for the draft and all that good stuff. All right. Any last words?
Yeah, fine. That's about it, man. I'm just getting ready for the off season. 3 more weeks. Excited to get going.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. All right, guys. We'll see you later. Peace.